liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You better send him the link again.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Baffangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, we're here today and we're looking for our guest. He's a sensational guy. He's a truth teller. He lays it right on the line. He cuts through all the smoke and mirrors, but rather to my surprise, he's not here as yet. I'm hoping there hasn't been interference in the meanwhile along the way. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, I'm about to email Jack again. And okay, so that's
Jack's just a sensational guy. He has aided and abetted me in technical ways forever. He is my webmaster. He also assisted my production of False Flags and Conspiracy 2020 last year, and again this for False Flags and Conspiracy 2021. I can, if we have the occasion, Giuseppe, review the speakers there, if you are so inclined.
Absolutely, Jim, go for it, yeah.
I would need to share. Shall I send it to you, or shall I try to do a screen share?
Oh, you here? Want me to bring up the website? Yeah.
What we really need, Giuseppe, is this list. I'm going to send it to you right now. I'll put it in the chat. The all of the speakers there. Although, you know, we could also do a top 10 stories for 2021 if you want. I got it loaded here too.
Either one works for me, Jim. Why don't we start with the speakers and then go to the stories if Jack doesn't show up?
Okay, here you go. Here, I've just sent you, if you can, it's taking a second to download.
Oh, I can't display PowerPoint.
Oh, what
do you have a link?
Can we do a
the link
can we do
at
a
your website?
From my, I'm sorry?
Oh, yeah, screen share from yours. Sure, go ahead.
Or go to my website, sure. False Flags and Conspiracy 2021, Giuseppe. That would be good.
Okay. Let's see, man. Second. There it is.
I wouldn't be surprised if there'd been interference run to prevent him from accessing. But he's a very smart guy. He ought to be able to figure out how to work around it and get join us.
All right, so let's move this over. And then, okay.
It's going to be about the sixth blog down, I think, if you assert.
Yeah, I have it. I'm just moving it over.
Okay.
All right.
For those unaware, this was a sensational conference. Can we do scroll up just a hair if you want to begin with, and we can...
scroll.
This was a sensational conference on the 11th and the 12th of December, where I was very pleased to organize and moderate. We had 12 presentations on Saturday. We had 12 presentations on Sunday. Very good, Giuseppe. And it went off like a clock, very precise, excellent. There were variations in the length of the presentation. Some were as brief as 20 minutes, other as long as 2 hours. If you scroll down, Giuseppe, I'll give us, we can talk about the exact program. Yeah, let me pull it up myself so I can. Can you go in closer on that?
No.
Okay. Well, the very first speaker was Nick Kohlerstrom, who's one of the world's leading experts, not only on the London subway bombing, the 7/7 subway bombing, where he cracked the case by discovering that the train from Luton that the young Islamic lads who'd apparently been lured in to participate in a drill orchestrated by Peter Parker could not have been at the tube stops on time. These were the exact tube stops and a bus in the vicinity that were planned in the drill of Peter Parker. Indeed, there's a brilliant expose on it online called 7/7 Ripple Effect by Maud Dibb, whose research is impeccable. In 1 hour, you get the whole story. Where Nick was particularly instrumental in cracking the case because he showed how impossible it was for the lads to have been there. In fact, when they figured out what was going on, they went to the Canary Wharf, where all the international press is located, in order to report that they'd been set up and that they were now in fear of their lives. And it turned out that the bobbies caught up with them and shot them dead. I mean, how bad is that for over 7/7? I mean, we know thousands died on 9/11, but here you have on 7/7, really outrageous. The second speaker was, and I'm on the wrong page myself.
Holly Seeliger.
Holly was talking about a false flag in Jamestown, believe it or not, known as Bacon's Rebellion. I mean, anyone who thinks that false flags are a novelty to America ought to check it out. The third was an overview about JFK. I could not see how we could not avoid, given the new evidence we have about JFK. So that was presented there, a distillation of all the collaborative research I've done with the best experts to ever study the case, including a world authority on the human brain, who is also an expert on wound ballistics, a PhD in physics, who's also an MD and board certified in radiation oncology, the treatment of cancer using X-ray therapy, so that he's an expert in the interpretation of X-rays. A physician who was there at trauma room number one when JFK's moribund body was brought in, and then 2 days later responsible for the care and treatment of his alleged assassin, Lee Oswald, and other of comparable ability. It was really indispensable, I think, to bring an update. And I encourage everyone to compare what we presented, and remember, this is not just my opinion. These are the conclusions of years of research that actually began in 1992, where we established, among other key points, that Lee Oswald was actually standing in the doorway when the JFK motorcade passed by, which meant that he cannot not only have been the lone demented gunman, he cannot have even been one of the shooters, where we've now identified eight. Where Edward Lansdale, the American Air Force general responsible for assassinations around the world, appears to have positioned the shooters and determined their sequence of shots. Compare this with Oliver Stone's new work called JFK Revisited, which I'm sorry to say is about two steps backwards For example, while he features David W. Mantic, MD, PhD, who's the leading expert on the medical evidence, he does so only in relation to Mantic's CAT scan of a patient with similar chest and neck dimensions to JFK, where he plotted the official trajectory and demonstrated conclusively that it's not even anatomically possible because cervical vertebrae intervene, rather than his discovery that the autopsy x-rays had been altered to conceal a fist-sized blowout at the back of the head, that he discovered evidence of a second shot to the head and a distribution of metallic particles that you can still find in the x-rays, even though they've been patched, that Bob Livingston, MD, the world authority on the human brain, had determined that the brain shown in diagrams and photographs in the National Archives is not that of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, or Larry Rivera's fantastic work that the film has not only been massively edited, which we knew to be the case, but in detail about how it was edited to take out more frames have been taken out from the original than are in the extant version. It appears to me that Jim DiEugenio, who wrote the script, played a role in relation to JFK Revisited that Robert Groden played in relation to JFK, where I regard both of them as limited hangouts. They try to burnish their credentials while they're sabotaging the case. For example, Robert Groden to this day insists the Zapruder film is authentic and complete and unedited when the evidence is simply overwhelming. If you want to find it, go to two of my earlier blogs, assassinationscience.com and assassinationresearch.com, which I co-edit with John P. Costella, a PhD in electromagnetism, where he's an expert on the properties of light and images of moving objects, where you'll find a Zapruder film tutorial that demonstrates, based on internal features of the film, that it was extensively revised and edited out of the original materials. Well, DiEugenio circumvented all the most important evidence we have today, including, while they focused on a ring in the figure in the backyard photographs, Jim Mars and I had already established this was Roscoe White based upon an oddity of his wrist, where he had an unhealed bone that you find in the backyard photographs and in photographs of Roscoe. But where Larry has gone further now and created superpositions of Roscoe White's body on the backyard photographs, where it's an exact fit compared to Lee Oswald's body, he's quite diminutive physically in relation to Roscoe, so it's embarrassingly bad. So that's there. Then, of course, because I founded, as the founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth back in December 2005, I brought together hundreds and hundreds of experts from around the world, engineers of all types, civil, mechanical, electrical, even aeronautical, which turned out to be especially important because there are various aspects of the official account of 9/11 that are not even aerodynamically or physically possible. I have in mind especially the fact that the plane at the Pentagon is alleged to have hit the building, barely skimming the ground at over 400 miles an hour to impact with the first floor. Well, that's aerodynamically impossible because of what's known as ground effect or downdraft, as explained to me by aeronautical engineers and pilots. That plane at that speed, a Boeing 757, could not have got closer than 60 or even 80 feet to the ground, and which is even higher than the Pentagon at 71 feet is tall. And then we have the oddity where Jack White, who is a legendary photo and film analyst, assisted me in preparing a sequence showing what is supposed to be Flight 175 entering the South Tower. And would you believe it, turns out the plane passes its entire length into the building, in this massive building, in the same number of frames, it passes its entire length through air, which Giuseppe makes no sense physically unless a massive 500,000-ton building poses no more resistance to the trajectory of an aircraft in flight than air. So we're being played. You know, if we're talking about violations of laws of physics, aerodynamics, what have you, that it can't possibly be true, we're witnessing a fantasy. So it's all laid out there. Then we had a next generation student. There's a fellow in Austin, Texas, by the name of Mike Cunningham, who's done a brilliant job with students, high school students, getting them engaged in serious research. And in this instance, I've featured one of the, his students talking about I skipped over the first at 11 a.m. A first generation student on was Pearl Harbor, really a surprise attack, a very, very nice presentation showing that FDR knew, of course, in advance, but believed that to overcome the isolationism, the inclination to not become in the, involved in the war in Europe, that he needed Pearl Harbor to take place. So he and his other highest advisors knew what was taking place, but they did not warn the military commander. That's a very nice presentation by a girl student for the next generation, and then another by a male next generation student about COVID-19 conspiracy or act of nature, where he adduces a good number of reasons to doubt that this was a natural phenomenon, that it appears to have been orchestrated, coordinated in a lab. Then Kelly Watt, who's absolutely wonderful, she had done great work in relation to Sandy Hook, where Giuseppe, she has her own commercial and home cleaning service. So she knew that blood is a biohazard and must be disposed of from its origin to its ultimate disposition with extensive documentation. So she was naive about Sandy Hook, but began making phone calls to find out who cleaned up the blood. No one could answer her question. Eventually, she was put into contact with Lieutenant Paul Vance, who'd been the head of the Connecticut State Police on the scene at the time, and asked Lieutenant Vance who cleaned up the blood. And he just blurted out, "What blood?" Because, of course, there hadn't been any blood there. Indeed, when they tore down the school building, Giuseppe, everyone involved in its demolition had to sign a lifetime gag order against revealing anything they'd seen or not seen there, which would have included no blood on the floors, no marks, pock marks on the walls. I mean, it's just embarrassingly bad. And Kelly became a very astute student. It was she, by the way, who first observed that one of the alleged decedents, Noah Posner, resembled his older purported stepbrother, Michael Vabner, where a fellow who calls himself Leonard Posner and purports to be the father of Noah had reached out to Kelly and initiated a conversation with her where they spoke for over 100 hours, Assembly. This is an absolutely fascinating story. She told him she didn't believe a word he said, didn't believe he had a son, didn't believe his son had died at Sandy Hook, asked for proof his son even existed or that he had died, including, you know, kindergarten report, photograph of the mother and child in a hospital, death certificate, birth certificate. Well, remarkably enough, he sent her copies of those, one of which was a death certificate that was completely uncertified. It had no file number. It had no town certification, no state certification, which I would publish in the book, and for which a fellow presenting himself as Leonard Posner would sue me for defamation for the declaration in the book that it was false, which under court order I'm not allowed to reassert. So I'm merely explaining the reason for which I was being sued, claiming that this was an act of defamation. Well, it would turn out during the court proceeding, the judge ruled that what happened or didn't happen at Sandy Hook, which in my answer I'd laid out, I was going to present all the evidence that this had been a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control, including the sign everyone must check in. It says right in the manual, which we discovered, everyone must check in with a controller upon arrival, that there was pizza and bottled water at the firehouse. Well, that's standard for a FEMA drill. They provide refreshments or porta potties already in place. Again, FEMA standardly provides restrooms. There were hundreds wearing color-coded name tags on lanyards, and that's, of course, how FEMA identifies the players. Giuseppe, there were parents bringing children to the scene, which is proof positive. This was just a rehearsal that was being a drill that was being treated as a festive occasion because no parent would bring a child to the scene of a child shooting massacre. And then, of course, we had a host of other indications on the day of the alleged shooting. The drill was held on the 13th. On the 14th, it was supposed to go live. No surge of EMTs into the building. No string of ambulances to rush their little bodies off to hospitals where they could be pronounced dead or alive. No medevac helicopter called, which typically they even call for a drill. No triage tarps put out for dead or wounded. It's really outrageous what was going on there. So Kelly was really instrumental. Well, she hasn't lost her instinct. She heard a report in her town of Tulsa that there were so many dead at the local hospital, they had to bring in refrigeration trucks to store the bodies. So she, who has a lot of spunk, decided to follow up. When she went to check it out, went to the hospital where they were supposed to be located, and guess what? There were a couple of trucks there, but one was a Pepsi-Cola truck. Another was a medical waste disposal truck. I mean, Kelly even took video footage, but it didn't include her own image. So when she sought to share it with Project Veritas, they loved it, but they said they couldn't use it because it didn't demonstrate that she personally had been there to take it. But I'm just telling you, she's wonderful. So you got to report about that. Then David Kenney, who's in California, a wonderful attorney, especially involved in school board issues, has been investigating the school bond corruption-related issues there in California and in connection to the COVID pandemic, where massive swindle is taking place. Then Dina Sachs, who's just a dynamo. Last year, she spoke about the godfathers of sex abuse, Bill Cosby, Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein. It was sensational. She spoke about the vaccine wars from a legal perspective, where Giuseppe, her clients include Naomi Wolf, whom I witnessed just last night on being featured on Tucker's show. Naomi is very smart in looking at the passport issue and recognizing it's the end of freedom if those passports are passed.
Right.
Then we had Susan Bradford, who's done astonishing work about the politics of business, talking about Abramoff and Enron. In addition, Sarah Westall, who's herself an investigative journalist, talks about the techniques that they use for mind control, social conditioning, as they're being applied here in the COVID situation. That's just a wonderful presentation. And then I was absolutely delighted to have my special featured guest, Dr. Catherine Horton, who has a PhD in particle physics from Oxford and has been leading the fight against the use of directed energy weapons to torment persons who are known as targeted individuals, and her husband, Bill Binney, William Binney, who's our nation's leading cybersecurity expert, where Bill Binney had exposed that the whole allegation of Russian hacking from the DNC was totally fake and fabricated, that the download occurred too fast to have been done anywhere but directly from the server, and that it was done in the Eastern time zone, all of which is indirect evidence confirming it was done by Seth Rich, who was the IT guy for the DNC, who was a Bernie Sanders supporter and was disgusted at the way in which the election had been stolen, the nomination had been stolen from Bernie. I mean, that was a sensational climax of Saturday, the 11th. Then on Sunday, the 12th, we had Nick Kullerstrom again on Who Wrote Shakespeare's Plays, a fascinating discussion where he talks about the three leading candidates, and I believe the third of the three is the most probable. Then we have Allison Sunny Menard about some unusual cases, legal cases she's investigated, where the victims purport to be dead, but where it's not at all clear that that is the case. Then I turn to A Tale of Two Cities, Kenosha and Waukesha, and talk about what is, I think, a more accurate than the normal depiction, how Kyle Rittenhouse had acted in self-defense, that the parties he shot were white, or more specifically Jewish, and they were all trying to kill him. It satisfies all the conditions that the prosecution was completely improper, inappropriate, and invalid. versus what happened in Waukesha, where we're told this black BLM supporter, apparently incensed by the Rittenhouse acquittal, because he appears to have believed a lot of the propaganda, claiming Rittenhouse was a white supremacist, which he was not, and that he shot three blacks, which he did not, ran a car into a crowd, a parade in Waukesha. And that was followed by a brilliant piece by Russ Winter, you, Scorpio, and Wayne, taking a closer look at Waukesha, where it turns out to have been a hybrid. And Giuseppe, I got to congratulate you and Russ and Scorpio and Wayne, because it was brilliant work.
Oh,
where some died. I mean, the basic event is correct, that he drove a vehicle, an SUV, into the crowd. But where the number of deaths has been exaggerated and aspects of it have clearly been staged, such as the scenes we see of individuals who are hovering over bodies that are distributed in the wrong locations, and where there's no surge of ambulance, no rush of EMTs, just as we saw at Sandy Hook, just as we saw at the Boston bombing. So I got to hand it to you and Russ and the others, Giuseppe, for a brilliant piece of work. Then we had Ron Avery, who's been following my case slowly. He's been involved in defamation cases himself on the Posner versus Fetzer lawsuit, where he has ripped up the Court of Appeals here for the way in which it mishandled this. I was denied the right to present my own defense on the ground. The judge said that the truth or falsity of what happened at Sandy Hook had nothing to do with the accuracy or the truth of the death certificate, even though the death certificate says the decedent died at Sandy Hook on 14 December 2012 of multiple gunshot wounds. Where Ron and I were discussing yesterday, and he was telling me any lawyer, anyone with a legal background looks at this can tell this was a fiasco, a gross abuse. And yet it sits dormant before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, where I'm very, very troubled that they haven't acted upon it, because it's there for 6 or 8 months already. They should have moved forward. Then Ron about his case and teamwork of news and thank you.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Much to say, and he's not here to say it, so I'm really troubled, and this is not adequate compensation to be reviewing a false flags and conspiracies event, so I'm very troubled. I sent him a text message, and you have been seeking to email him. Any response at all?
No. I emailed and Skyped him the link to the show, and he's a busy guy with his business and everything, so something must have occurred.
Well, something may have occurred, but we exchanged messages earlier this morning, and he said he was ready. I mean, he was ready, and that meant he was ready. So, well, continue here. Joe Olson gave a very nice piece on the fall of America, talking about how the country has been corrupted, the role of the Khazarian mafia, the Rothschilds, the COVID, in an attempt to take down America, where Biden, of course, has created the open borders. He has blogged. We even have it from Deputy Secretary of the Treasury that the shipping problems, the cargo problems, the supply problems are manufactured, that they're the deliberate policy of the Biden administration until everyone in America gets vaxxed. We know there's absolutely stunning issues related to the vaccination, where it turns out to be, as Sherry Tenpenny puts it, a perfectly designed killing machine. So that the more who are vaxxed, the worse off the country is. And yet Biden continues to push and push and push. In fact, he gave a very long statement that was not only tedious and boring, but completely wrong, saying you're not even patriotic unless you get the jab. This is just disgusting, the assembly, completely disgusting. So Joe was reflecting on that. Then we had Carl Herman, who, like Joe, participates in the Need to Know shows, as do you and Scorpio and Merriam and others, talking about American Revolution 2.0, how we have to take control of this situation and act on our own behalf, where he's had remarkable success in dealing with the Los Angeles Unified School District. He's really a smart guy and very aggressive in going about it. Then Scott Bennett, my dear colleague of many, many years, addresses the coming war in Ukraine. Now, it's his position, Giuseppe, that, which I agree, that Biden's poll numbers are so bad, where they're down to 36, Kamala even worse, 26, that he wants to organize or orchestrate a war on one of three fronts, either with Ukraine and Russia, or Taiwan and China, or Israel and Iran, where he believes, and I agree, the far more likely is with Ukraine, trying to provoke the situation, where Vladimir Putin is going out of his way to seek reassurance from the West that we're not going to move short-range ballistic missiles to the border of Russia, which would be intolerable. I mean, what an affront to the national security of Russia. We worry so much about the U.S. national security, but just think if China wanted to move short-range ballistic missiles to the Mexican border, or the Canadian for that matter, we would be outraged. Well, the Americans, in particular the press, shows no consideration for the other guy's point of view. Russia has been played again and again. Actually, when the dissolution of the Soviet Union took place, Lee Wanta was appointed a special ambassador on behalf of Ronald Reagan to negotiate with Mikhail Gorbachev on the dissolution of the Soviet Union, and issued solemn agreements that there would be no effort to encroach on any of the Eastern Bloc countries that would now become sovereign nations, that NATO would make no effort to expand one inch into that territory, when we've done precisely the opposite. You even have the Secretary General of NATO talking about Ukraine eventually becoming a member of NATO. That is intolerable, unacceptable. Putin has been very specific in laying down red lines that the United States and NATO must not cross, and we seem to be treating that in a cavalier fashion. Let me add another reason why I believe that, in fact, they're setting up for a war with Russia. They recently released 1,500 additional documents related to the JFK assassination, and they were played up, as showing that Lee Oswald had contact with a Russian embassy. They talk about his effort to go to Mexico City to obtain a visa to travel to Cuba to make an escape back to the Soviet Union. This is all poppycock. Based upon earlier research, Larry Rivera, who did the stunningly good work about the limousine stop that I haven't mentioned here and now, where the driver, William Greer, pulled the limousine to a left and to a halt in Dealey Plaza to make sure JFK would be killed, where he'd already been hit twice, once in the back by a shot fired from the top of the county records building by, it appears, a deputy sheriff by the name of Harry Weatherford, and shot in the throat by a bullet passing through the windshield fired by an Air Force expert by the name of Jack Lawrence, who was inside the triple underpass, but he wasn't dead. So we had the umbrella man pumping his umbrella, which was visible from all the shooters' locations. That meant the target was still alive. Keep shooting. And you had this Cuban extend with a fist-like gesture, which indicated he should halt. And Greer pulled the limousine to the left in a halt so abruptly it jostled all the passengers forward. And during that interval, Jack was hit in the back of the head by a shot fired from the Daltex by an anti-Castro Cuban by the name of Nestor Tony Escadrill, who was supervised, believe it or not, it appears, by George Herbert Walker Bush, who was arrested when he came out of the Daltex and identified himself as an independent Houston oil man, which was his cover while working for the CIA. And he was hit in the right temple after Jackie eased him up. He was hit in the back of the head, slumped forward, Jackie eased him back up and was looking him right in the face when he was hit in the right temple by shot fired by Frank Sturgis from the intersection of the triple underpass and the picket fence, where for Sturgis appears to have been the CIA shooter. When you look at the different groups who were sponsoring the event, which was orchestrated by Lyndon Johnson, let there be no doubt, it appears each of the groups had their own shooter. So you had one who was a Dallas deputy sheriff, another, it was actually Roscoe White, who'd stood in the backyard photographs on the grassy knoll police uniform, Frank Sturgis for the CIA, Air Force expert I already mentioned, Lyndon Johnson personal hitman was actually in the Daltex on the opposite side of the building firing at John Conley in the mistaken belief that it was the liberal Texas Senator Yarbrough, Ralph Yarbrough, where Lyndon had had a huge fight with JFK that morning, wanting to get Conley out and Yarbrough in because he didn't want to place his crony in harm's way. But Jack overrode him on the ground that the chief executive of the state should ride with the chief executive of the United States. And it had the effect of obfuscating the politics, because no one in general would have assumed Lyndon would put his chief, his biggest supporter and ally, had been his campaign manager when he ran for president against JFK in L.A. in 1960 for the Democratic nomination. Indeed, that appears to have been where the whole plot originated. After securing the nomination, Jack invited Stuart Symington of Missouri to be his running mate, but gave him overnight to think about it. Bobby went by the Johnson suite to make a pro forma invitation for Lyndon to run with Jack, never expecting he'd have the least interest. Stunned when Lyndon jumped on it, threatened to expose that Jack had Addison's disease and wasn't expected to live a long, healthy life. Using information obtained from Edgar Hoover, he threatened to reveal that among Jack's dalliances was one with a beautiful woman who'd been a spy for East Germany, both of which, by the way, were true, and that if he were not on the ticket, then any legislative proposal sent down by the White House would be dead on arrival, because in his position as a powerful majority leader, he would bottle them up. Bobby was just unbelievably baffled and distraught. He and Jack tried to figure a way out of it, but Lyndon had them boxed in, and they had to accede to his demands. When one of Lyndon's wealthy backers heard that LBJ would be running with JFK, he burst into the Johnson suite cursing and swearing because now Lyndon will help Jack become president of the United States. Bobby Baker took him into a bedroom and explained what they had in mind. He came out all smiles and said he thought that was an excellent plan. Bobby Baker would later declare publicly that JFK would not live out his first term and that he would die a violent death. And as I mentioned, Lyndon would send his chief administrative assistant, Cliff Carter, down to Dallas to make sure all the arrangements were in place for the assassination. And who better to be able to guarantee that anyone involved in the event would never be punished than the president of the United States, who had the authority to pardon anyone should they actually be convicted or tried. He orchestrated the Warren Commission to preempt all the other investigations, and there were a half a dozen or more that were already making headway and sorting out what had actually happened to cover it up. And of course, you know, even crucial evidence such as that Malcolm Perry, MD, who'd been the physician at Parkland, who'd performed a simple tracheostomy incision through the small, clean puncture wound in the throat, fired by Jack Lawrence from inside the triple underpass. Three times he told the assembled press at the Parkland press conference held at 1:30, after Malcolm Kilduff, the acting press secretary, had explained that it was a simple matter of a bullet right through the head while pointing to his right temple. Where I believe that those who watched and followed the news, and they were being widely reported, those two shots, both of which have been fired from in front on radio and television that day. So if you went back to NBC, see it now, you'll see in great detail with attribution, they explained about these two wounds. So the good reason why the American people were uneasy when the Warren Commission claimed there'd only been three shots fired from above and behind is that every American who was glued to his television that day had heard the reports of the two shots, the wound to the throat and the wound to the right temple, both of which had been fired from in front. So, you know, Lyndon was in the key position to obscure and cover it all up. It was completely outrageous. He even had his personal hitman there. Meanwhile, returning to false flags and conspiracies, Scott talking about the coming war in Ukraine. Well, I do believe this latest release was solely for the propagandistic purposes to reiterate the idea that the Soviet Union had something to do with the assassination of JFK, which is false. I mean, think about it. Once you understand that the autopsy x-rays had been patched and that they were in control to conceal a blowout to the back of the head, and that they were in control of medical officers of the U.S. Navy and agents of the Secret Service, there would have been no opportunity for the KGB, for example, to extend its reach into Bethesda Naval Hospital and alter those x-rays. Once you know that the brain shown in diagrams and photographs in the National Archives cannot possibly be the brain of JFK, a conclusion drawn by a world authority on the human brain, who concluded because of the testimony from 6 or 8 different experienced and qualified physicians at Parkland of extruding cerebellar tissue as well as cerebral, whereas the brain from that wound at the back of the head that was concealed by the patching of the x-rays, you understand that a brain that is completely intact, virtually with minor damage to the top of the head, can't possibly be the brain of JFK, who after all had half his brains blown out at Dealey Plaza. So that, you know, it can't have been the KGB. It can't have been the mob. It can't have been anti-Castro Cubans. They couldn't have got their hands on the Zapruder film to alter the film so massively that it's missing more frames than there are in the extant 487 frame version, which itself has been altered, for example, by concealing the blowout at the back of the head by the simple expedient of blowing it up, painting it out, and then shrinking it back down and shooting the sequence of frames, where I suspected that they spent so much time in the early frames from the time of the headshot as it's portrayed in the video, which is 313 through 14, 15, 16, 17, they might have overlooked that it might be visible in later frames. And I found, lo and behold, in frames 374 and 375, you can actually see the defect. So when you compare David Mantic's identification of Area P, where it was patched with a blowout, as you can see in 374, it's a match. You know, there's a part of it that's over because of Jack's hair in the limousine, but there's no doubt about it that these are a correspond. And Larry, in fact, discovered that Jackie's gloves, she was wearing white gloves, actually highlight and outline the defect at the back of the head. So, you know, there's just no question about what was going on here. Returning to Scott, so I believe they released these last few documents to try to pin the tail on the Soviet Union talking about Russia when it was all a fabrication. They had nothing to do with it. This was all the way with LBJ. Meanwhile, however, they want to provoke a war with Russia. I'm sorry to say it looks increasingly likely they're going to get it because the West is ignoring Putin's demand for assurances that they're not going to emplace those weapons and that they're not going to attempt to encroach and turn more of these nations into NATO countries, where in fact quite the contrary is going on. The executive director of NATO is saying Ukraine will eventually become a NATO nation. Well, that's not tolerable to Russia. There's some point at which Putin will act, and he will act decisively, and the United States is not going to be happy with the outcome because the Soviet weaponry is far superior to American. They have the best anti-missile missiles in the world. They have the best anti-submarine torpedoes in the world. They just have unbelievably good weapons that are unstoppable. And the advantage they have had, Giuseppe, is that the Russians don't have to put up with contractors who produce inferior equipment, so they get maintenance contracts and make them more money than the original. Thus, you have ill-fated projects like the F-35, which is so clumsy, it's useless, and yet we're paying like $1 billion per aircraft. I mean, it's insulting. The Soviets, the Russians today, have not put up with that nonsense. And I guarantee Vladimir Putin is not going to put up with more nonsense from NATO. So while Biden, I think, believes, his advisors, since it's not the real Biden, believes that this is going to rally the American people to his support, I think the American people will regard this as simply more incompetence from the Biden administration, where they're overwhelmingly opposed to a war with Russia, And I think his poll numbers, instead of going up as they'd like to imagine is going to happen, will go further down. It's going to be a catastrophe. So I think Scott's right. It's not the Taiwan, China, or even Israel, Iran that's going to be the problem. It's the coming war in Ukraine. Then Henry Macko, who's a very interesting guy, he was a child prodigy, published a commentary about the Great Reset on a UK website called The Truth Seeker, a very respected website, and got a response, which he believes, as do I, was authored by Jacob Rothschild himself, who is arguably the most powerful and influential figure in the world today, where Rothschild was explaining how they have used an innocuous virus to introduce a vaccine to promote their agenda of global depopulation, and that everyone's falling for it. I mean, he's very open about it. Now, some question whether this could actually have been from Jacob Rothschild, although Henry has published a whole piece of multiple reasons why he believes it actually was. But the fact is, it exemplifies the attitude of the global elite, the genocidal globalist to a T. So this is truly fascinating. You can find an article I published about it on my blog. Then Jack Mullen, our missing guest for today, and Stephanie Sledge have a very nice piece about assessing the situation we're in and what can be done about it, where we're headed, which I would like to believe Jack will still be able to join us and can lay out for our benefit and edification here today. So, I won't say more about that. And it came to a grand conclusion with Ole Domegaard, who, along with Nick Kullerstrom and myself, are the three most active in exposing false flags and conspiracies in the world today, only talking about how his ability, his knack for anticipating where the next false flag would occur based upon clues left behind by the last, has enabled him to predict time and again where the next is going to occur. And he talks about that and how his name has been turned into a verb. It's wonderful, and we closed again with a musical piece, Giuseppe, which Ole had done. He turns out to be, I regard him as the rock star among conspiracy theorists, but he had this wonderful piece about getting awake, that with which I concluded Saturday, and it was so wonderful that I repeated it on Sunday, too. Yeah, anyone who wants to follow up, the whole conference is available to you. Go to my blog at jamesfetcher.org and check it out. There are three kinds of tickets you can get. $5 gives you one show repeatedly to access over 6 months. Then another $25 gives you the whole conference for a month. And $40 gives you the whole conference for a year. Giuseppe, I want to invite your comments on any and all of the above. I thought you and Russ made a marvelous contribution in assessing what actually had happened at Waukesha.
Well, what a phenomenal lineup, Jim, 2 days. And the best value, of course, is $40. And then you can, which I purchased, and then you can watch at your leisure for, a year. And it's well worth it. And interesting, what I would like to share is in the host chat a few minutes ago, the Revolution Radio host chat, the brilliant Mr. Rowe, who's a host and manager of Revolution Radio, posted the following information. A submerged Russian submarine has successfully launched a caliber cruise missile from the Sea of Japan yesterday to a target more than 1,000 kilometers away, located at a Russian training ground onshore, the RIA, Russian Information Agency, said on Tuesday. So, the Russians are making a statement that, look, you're not going to go into Ukraine. And the Rothschild globalist satanic empire wants to make Ukraine into a second Israel. And so I don't think that's going to work very well for the Russians to have that on their border, because like the malignancy that the internationalist elf is, it's a cancer that will begin to eat into Russia, and in no way do they want that. So it'll be very interesting. It's certainly, Biden is desperate, and it's these are shockingly dangerous times, because essentially we have an installed communist puppet in Joe Biden. He's a total Zionist shill, and it's embarrassing, Jim. We are literally like living the Bolshevik Revolution 2.0 in the United States right now, and it's disturbing. And yeah. And Jack Mullen has done some great work in seeking to combat that, and I hope his schedule frees up or whatever emergency he had to deal with, so he can join us for hour two. I certainly hope he.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to call him over the break. And let me just add, those of you who are aware of my efforts to support the First and the Second Amendment, where I am attempting to intervene in the Remington bankruptcy settlement, because there's never been adjudication on the question of did anybody die at Sandy Hook, and where I'm trying through the court system to resolve this case, where a ridiculous lawsuit was brought against me violating the principles of summary judgment, where I wasn't allowed to present a defense, where I had two experts. I introduced a total of four different death certificates. The two experts, which were obtained from the state and from the town attached to the complaint, and the one that Posner gave to Kelly Watt, that was the object of the lawsuit. The two document examiners, these are experts, forensic experts, concluded that all four of the death certificates were fake. And the judge, during a conversation with a plaintiff's attorney, right in front of me before I'd even testified, said, you know, he said, if I exclude this as evidence, then that'll be grounds for an appeal. So I'm just going to set it aside as someone else's opinion. I mean, Giuseppe, this is so outrageous. The point I'm coming to is, I'm fighting the good fight on your behalf. The money, if you obtain a ticket, it will go to my legal defense fund and enable me to pursue these issues. I'm sorry to say, while I do all this gratis myself, my attorneys expect to be paid. Now you figure that out. But the fact of the matter is, it's not going to pay off the massive 1.1 million judgments against me for seeking to expose all of this, $450,000. Oscar, think about it. I'd welcome your support.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance
and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to hour two of the event, which is the only simulcast done at the Mighty Mighty Revolution Radio, Studio A in Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the legendary Professor Jim Fetzer's Raw Deal. And Revolution Radio is now in its 11th year and is completely 100% listener supported. So please go to the website and awesome new website redone by the tech team and hit the donate button and support Revolution Radio. And there he is. There's Professor Jim Fetzer returning. So no Scorpio today. Scorpio is earning a living, man. He's a gifted artist, and he's just landed a massive contract to paint some murals at a new winery. So a guy's got to eat. So hopefully he'll be back in the weeks ahead, though. Especially if it's raining, he can join us. Jim, any word from Jack? I believe Jim's typing. So we will...
Seppy.
There he is. All right.
Had any luck at all?
No. He did not reply to my email, did not reply to the Skype. I'm thinking, Jim, since it's Christmas, why don't we open up the phones early and
that's good. I'm good for that. So I can enumerate the top 10 stories and we can talk about them too if anyone is so disposed. But yeah, let's open up the lines early. I think that's fine, Giuseppe.
So the number is area code 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. They always say it three times. 540-352-4452. It's been a zany year, to say the least. So call in and let's talk about your thoughts on the year end. And in the meantime, we'll begin going down the top 10 lists that the professor put together.
Very good. Very good. Very good, Giuseppe. Well, number 10, fake president assumes fake office following fake election. The theft of the 2020 election was on an historically unprecedented scale. Sidney Powell's tweet had Trump with 410 electoral votes to 128 for Biden. Biden using a fake Oval Office in the Eisenhower Executive Building where the press are there in the audience. They know it's fake. The guy publicly presented as Joe Biden is not even the real one. The evidence is extensive and compelling. It's not just the ears or the eye color. They have different shape and size of skull, Giuseppe. They have different handwriting. The signatures are completely different. That's story number 10. Number nine.
Well, should we comment on each one while we're going?
Yeah,
on this?
I'd love your comments. Yes, yes, yes. Go, Giuseppe, go for it. Yeah.
So story number 10, Biden has been a career puppet and criminal of the Rothschild globalist empire. I mean, dating back to his earliest days when he should have been shuffled out of politics when he's been trying to run for president for about 40 years. And his first effort in the 80s, he was caught multiple times plagiarizing British speeches. I think one was by the brilliant politician Neil Kinnock, and just stole it wholesale. And he was shamed and embarrassed, and he should have been swept out. But, you know, much like cockroaches when you live, like when I moved to the District of Criminals the first time in 87, you turn on the light in my apartment at night to go get some water out of the fridge, and all of a sudden there'd be cockroaches around, and it's like, oh God. But that's what Biden is. He scurried away, and he should have been not elected, but he is such a useful puppet that he has been installed now. I mean, my God, decade after decade. Most listeners may not understand that the traitorous President Brandon wrote the Patriot Act, which stole so many freedoms under the sham of the false flag 9/11. He wrote that in 1995 and was a sponsor of that bill. So this guy is a traitor dating back, you know, how many decades? And so, of course, when you have this Zio/communist takeover of the sovereign republic of the United States, who are they going to install but their best puppet? And that is Joe Biden.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, he ran for president three times over 35 years, and he hadn't won a single caucus or a single primary until South Carolina, when the Google and all came in to alter the outcome digitally, right, to begin stealing the election, and it went right through the election, where Zuckerberg turned out to have shelled out millions of dollars to get young zealots in there to count votes, and they were throwing away votes for Trump and only counting votes for Biden, which they were frequently recycling again and again to multiply. Just disgusting beyond belief. Nice comments. Second story, number nine. Fear of Trump leads to fake impeachment and fake insurrection. Trump's wipeout scared the Democrats into endlessly attacking him. The fake impeachments were followed by the staged insurrection, but there was no incitement and no attempt to overthrow the government. Indeed, Antifa and other agitators were there galore, including FBI agents, provocateur, where Revolver has been doing a brilliant job of exposing the role of a guy named Ray Epps, who was openly agitating and drawing people in to take actions they would not have taken, where even the crowd was calling out about Ray Epps when he was doing this. Fed, 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 Fed. They weren't fooled. But you see, Pelosi, who appears to have orchestrated this whole thing so they could have something to use against Trump and to interfere with the election, Pelosi was taking a major role here. She is just disgusting beyond belief. Your comments, and then we'll invite our caller, a familiar figure from California, to join our conversation.
Well, Jim, it's stunning to me how these tired, corrupt traitors get to remain in federal power. I mean, there's no one more disgusting and useless and parasitic than Nancy Pelosi and her scumbag husband, who consistently for years now gets insider trading tips thanks to Pelosi's chairmanship and sitting on key committees, and they have got I recently read an article where a really great hedge fund manager might deliver like a 20% profit return, and just a phenomenal hedge fund manager might get to 30%. And yet Pelosi's husband is delivering to them an annual return on investment of knocking on 70%. It's between 66 and 68% because they have insider information and they get to act on it. They should both be in jail, and yet they're not.
Yeah, she's having breakdowns here at these press conferences. It may be she's realizing how much damage she's done to the United States, except that's giving her credit for having a modicum of a conscience, which may be too generous. Right. Paul from California. Paul, go ahead. Join us, please.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, brother.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Welcome to the winter of illness and death. You can't make it up, can you? You cannot literally not make it up. It's unreal.
It's unbelievable. I agree.
This is so bizarre and surreal. You're right. You can't make this up anymore. It's like, it's too bizarre.
I've got my cemetery plot and my coffin all picked out. You're not going to catch me unprepared, you know, going into the winter of illness and death.
Oh, good man.
I don't even see how they care anymore. To be honest, I've thought for a long time they just get off on rubbing our faces in it, but you know, to me, you know, what this looks like for anybody who pays attention, and I don't even know what the numbers are who watch, you know, the news anymore. They probably see clips like we do online. I don't see anything live on occasion. I hear stuff on radio, but regular radio is now sickening. I used to enjoy talk radio here and there, listening to, you know, soft rock, sports talk, all this stuff. Every single station I tune into has got some vaccine, what could you call it, vaccine shilling, vaccine pimping going on every 10, 15, 20 minutes at the max. You cannot go a half hour on any of these stations without hearing some message, get your booster, keep yourself stronger, you know? It's just unreal.
Oh, you know, both you guys are going to like this story. The this past Sunday, the Green Bay Packers, I was born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And as a little boy, I was grew up among the Lombardi Packers. So I've been a lifelong Packer fan. I was a very avid fan until all this Black Lives Matter Antifa bullshit caused me to kind of lose my, you know, enthusiasm for sports. But I still monitor it. And so I have a real dear friend who's done really well for himself, even though he's a lifelong citizen of Maryland. He's been a Packer fan his whole life. And so he's connected to everybody in his job in government and corporate software sales. So he was offered two free Packer Ravens tickets, $500 a ticket for free. And he invited me. So I got to sit on the 20-yard line, unbelievable seats. I've never sat in such a good Packer ticket in my life. And I haven't gone to a Packer game live since 1997. I never thought I'd attend again because I won't spend that kind of money. But I got the whole thing for free. And so they had started out, we're walking into the game, and they're saying, you know, like, big brother, I have an Apple iPhone and a watch, and it started messaging you just like an Amber Alert. You must wear a mask. You must wear a mask. And we're like, you know, let's just see what happens if we don't wear a mask going in here, going in. And they were like, you must wear a mask in all indoor areas. If you go to a concession, if you go to the bathroom, wear a mask. You know, it's literally flashing on my phone and my watch. And we go in. Nobody hassled us. We get in there and we look around. And despite Big Brother trying to mind control people, 70% of the people in the indoor areas were not wearing masks. The mask obedient, compliant face diaper wearers were a minority. It was amazing to see. It's not working anymore. They're lies.
That's good.
Was this was in Baltimore?
Baltimore, yeah,
life
Baltimore.
In California?
Say again?
Are you seeing signs of life in California, of resistance to the massive onslaught of vax propaganda? I mean, Biden's
no, it's, it's,
outrageous. It was just nothing. He was saying, you're unpatriotic. You're not even an American if you don't get the vax.
No, it's the same. It's the same or worse than ever. And the headlines out here, I could take a snapshot of the various headlines from the papers, San Francisco Chronicle, San Jose Mercury News. It's disgusting beyond belief. The headline in the other day with the San Jose paper was Omicron now dominant variant in U.S. You know, based on what? You know, it's just, I see mask wearing off the charts here. I'm doing a temporary holiday gig to Kelly Services for Macy's. I'm basically working in the fulfillment area. It's not bad, you know, $26 an hour, you know, so packaging stuff, shipping boxes and, you know, everything else all across the country for people who order stuff online. You know, it's pretty casual. But I got to tell you that, you know, the amount of mask wearing everywhere, outdoors, indoors, people going into it, they're putting it on from as soon as they get out of their car, most of them, before they go in the store. And just the other day at the grocery store, in line at Safeway, I've seen this now twice, which just kind of boggles my mind. But here it is. This is how beaten people are. One was, as Giuseppe would say, one was a Chinese tree monkey, and the other was just a regular white guy in his maybe late 20s, early 30s. They walk in the door. They don't have a mask, and they look around beseeching recognition or eye contact, and they get it from like a cashier or one of that bagger helpers and asking for a mask because they don't have one. Oh, sorry, we're out of mask. Now, the one guy, as soon as he hears that, he just literally turns tail around and walks out the door. The other woman, she takes a few steps in and she kind of makes a gesture like, well, I just want to grab, you know, one thing, you know, like I just want to get something and go. And the guy goes, oh, sorry. Right. And she turns around and skulks out the door. You know, meanwhile, it's like Scorpio said, you know, you just go in, you just have a certain attitude. I don't go in. I'm not looking menacing or anything like that. I just casually stroll in everywhere I go without a mask and, you know, just get what I want. Just the other day I walked in, I felt like getting a donut, so I went to this donut shop. I hadn't been in ages. And I go in, and the Hispanic woman, pats her mouth area and goes, sir, you don't have a mask. I go, no, I don't believe in any of that.
Yeah.
Can I get a chocolate coconut? And she just grabs it, and I get
my
donut.
Yeah, we don't do that.
So, anyway, it's just...
It sounds like we have another caller.
Yeah, we have a second caller, Paul. I want you to stand by, Paul. Let me bring in John. John, what state are you from? Join the conversation.
From the state of Missouri.
Missouri. Okay, go ahead, John.
Yes, you know, I just like to say, you know, this has been the wildest ride I've ever had and seen in my entire life. I'm 51 years young, and, you know, I just can't even imagine. You know, even if I put on my movie imagination and my Santa Claus wig, I couldn't create a fictitious story enough to match what type of BS we are going to receive coming down the pipeline next year. I mean, you know, it seems like they have got us locked in so deep. It's not even funny. And I think the main thing is shattering the left and right paradigm of exposing how it is a one-party system, and every one of them are involved, because there might be a lot of fellows out there highlighting the crimes, but they never do anything. You know, even Rand Paul, he never ever does anything, and he could have indictments issued that day. But look, we're just being manipulated and dominated, because that's just how it's always been since the beginning of time, by the rulers and powers that be. And you know, I just hope that enough people can wake up to see that this is a one-party system, and they're really going after Bradley Dean. I don't know if you guys know who that is, but he's like got serious A game when it comes to exposing things and being aligned properly with Christ. And they're shutting everything. They're shutting him down and deleting everything here. And I, you know, I don't know what to do anymore other than throw myself into the gears of the machine with everything I got. I'm selling everything. I'm giving away everything. I don't care. I'm just going to use every bit I have left in me to make sure that I throw something into the machine, because I'm not going to go along with this.
Well stated,
right,
Jim.
On.
Go ahead.
Right on. Yeah, right on, John.
You John, guys rock, too. I just want to say all of you.
I think there are serious problems on both sides of the aisle, but I do not equate. I do not think there's a one-party system. We had a strong economy. We had secure borders. We had rising wages. When Trump was in office, he was making a difference. We've had a complete reversal under Biden. They have opened the borders. They've destroyed the economy. They're going full hog with all this inoculation. Now, Trump blundered, and some believe it was deliberate, by promoting the warp speed agenda. I suspect Paul agrees with that 100%, just Epi Mayfield too. And I fault him for that. He did some very stupid things, like assassinating General Soleimani, who was a great hero of the Middle East, whom I admired beyond words. That was terrible. On the other hand, DeSantis is doing a lot of wonderful work here, and he's dealing with the supply problems, which the Biden administration have said are not going to be solved until every American is vaxxed, meaning it's a deliberate policy of Biden to deprive us of food and other necessities of life until everyone gets vaxxed. DeSantis is working around it. They're going 24/7 unloading ships in Florida. I think DeSantis may be our greatest hope, and Trump is severely flawed. But I do not buy that the parties are the same. I don't. Giuseppe, your thoughts? Yes.
Well, I have to disagree, Jim. I agree. I think that in the public perception of the divide and conquer strategy, in the basically worthless endeavor to vote, you have a clear choice, but in reality you don't, because the money party behind the facade of the two party absolutely controls both sides of the aisle. And I think that the globalists play a depressurization game. So they get one side of the divide and conquer, like the Democrats, all fired up because they hate Trump, and that allowed them to steal the election and install Biden because they could claim, oh, so many liberals hate Trump. Well, no, they don't. I mean, they do, but they don't have the numbers to have actually elected Biden. And so now they're going to shift it back to someone else, to Trump again, or DeSantis, or someone new, to give the appearance to the other side of the civil war between red and blue that it's their time now. And they keep doing this depressurization strategy all the time, endeavoring upon a massive wealth transfer to the globalists, a stripping of our rights. So I don't agree. Everything we see is kind of superficial. What's really going on to eat away, like this globalist malignancy at our rights and at our sovereign republic, continues to occur unabated.
Very good.
If I may comment.
Go ahead, John.
You know, yes, you know, I do believe that if you go back and you look at everything and you study it over and over and over and over, one of the reasons why we can't ever seem to figure this out, none of it seems to make much sense, is because it is a one-party system. And they may not come out and act like it, but behind closed doors and behind the scenes, what we don't get to see, when they're making deals or they're being blackmailed or whatever the case may be, to get these politicians that doesn't seem like they're on the left to do things that are left, and they're on the right. You know, I do believe that they've, you know, got some dirt and they're blackmailing somehow, or they're bribing them, but it never seems to work. And we've just got to wake up and stop. And how does Trump not know that his daughter was living at 666 Park Avenue with Jared Kushner? You know, and I just can't ignore that fact.
Good point.
You know,
good.
More callers, Jim.
Yes, I noticed that.
Hey, you guys have a wonderful Christmas. I love you guys. You guys are great.
Merry
Regardless
Christmas, John.
Regardless of whether I agree or disagree, you guys are on top of it, and I appreciate all the hard work you guys do.
Merry Christmas, John.
Thank you for that. 518 area code. Please give us your first name and state and join the conversation. 518.
Joshua, New York. I'm calling in regards to, for one, with that Bradley Dean guy. You guys should pull some strings, because I listen to Revolution Radio like 24/7 now, because you guys have some good people like yourselves. And there's a lot of open spots I'm seeing in that. So maybe you guys can get that Bradley Dean dude to start coming on Revolution Radio. And that's the other thing. I think Revolution Radio should, this is definitely the time for you guys to expand. So, like, to find new people. Like, there's going to be a whole bunch of people like yourself, Jim Fetzer and Giuseppe, that are well diverse in all types of areas and subjects that are obviously going to be coming up, obviously, that have actual real credible backgrounds and stuff. So Revolution Radio, you guys got to really you know, find someone to help you guys to, like, you know, they're all over the place. All these people, doctors, lawyers, and that are standing up, you know, but they're not big. They don't have a lot of support or whatever. But so my point is that you guys definitely should be doing that. The other thing is when it comes to, what do you call it, have you guys ever heard of astroturfing before?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, there's a woman, last name Atkinson, and I've seen a video with her and that guy, the one German lawyer dude, Reinbeck or something like that. You know who I'm talking about?
Anyway, oh, Rainer Fulmach.
Yeah, that guy. So there was a video I just seen of with her, and her book's called Smear, I think it's called. And it goes over the astroturfing and how, you know, they sit there and they take grassroots movements, they make them purposely and then control them and all that.
Yep.
And so the other thing is that, speaking of these grassroots movements, you got stuff like that Stu Peters guy. I've called in about him before. And just recently, I guess, he's connected to a Clay Clark guy who, the Clay Clark dude, was making events and stuff. He was on the right and everything. And he's supposed to be a Christian or something like that. So there was an event that happened at a church, and there was supposed to be stuff falling from the ceiling, and supposed to be a fog machine or something. And one or two of the people that were there got sick, and you know, they think that it was an anthrax attack or something.
Wow.
And so the whole point is that this dude Stu Peters just made a video recently, just like yesterday or something today, stating that he doesn't think that would, because he's like connected to that dude Clay Clark. So he's like saying, oh, I don't think there was an anthrax attack or whatever. I'm pretty sure the CDC would have said something. Wait a second. We're talking about the same CDC that's obviously leftist, which isn't really for the left people, obviously. We're talking about the same CDC that has distinguished these supposed people that would be at this church, which would be Trump supporters and the right wing, the people that they don't like and are definitely willing to imprison, if not kill, because they're most likely unvaccinated. You're telling me that that group that's lying about killing people would definitely mention that there was an anthrax attack on those people? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Stu Peters does a lot of really top flight work, but he came out of nowhere and suddenly he's huge. So that means he's got a lot of money backing him somehow. So, yeah, I mean, astroturfing is everywhere. The idea that the elites have both sides controlled opposition has been going on a long time, as Jim has documented in so many ways.
I think
that's
just wanted to bring that stuff up. Very, very good comments. Yeah. Do you want to add one more? We have another two more callers actually saying bye, but go ahead. One more thought.
Joshua, one more.
No. Just wanted to bring all that to everyone's attention and all that. And also, so I'm paying attention to that. And
you're right.
And
radio, we have a lot of open slots in Studio B right now. I would welcome, if you nominate somebody, you could write to me and suggest people who might be good and give me some way to contact and discuss. I'd be glad to recommend. I've recommended new voices here on Revolution Radio many times in the past and been successful in getting them on. So that's a great idea. Do that.
Okay, yeah. All right, I'll look into that for you guys. All right.
Thank you very much. We have Brian from Washington State. Brian, give us your thoughts.
Well, that would be that, like I've said before, this carbon economy is post-COVID nightmare. So I really appreciate Giuseppe and Scorpio at least addressing the village and communitarianism in their last roundtable with some gentlemen, but I'm still thinking a focused 2 or 3 hours on this communitarian subject, because when what is happening October 31st, 2021 is Amitai Etzioni is writing an article, carbon capture is a climate change game changer. And you know, this does not require individuals and industries to change. It's going to be one great big kibbutz. This is their solution, easily found at Amitai's website, which is called the Communitarian Network. Done deal on that. Now, we should move on to, I know we have a caller holding on, Paul from California. This Pepperdine University is down in Cali, and the School of Public policy is what they're referring to, SPP, American Project, to host bipartisan conversation on communitarian politics, March 31st, 2021. So is getting rid of Biden and replacing him with DeSantis, whatever the next other side of the aisle puppet is going to be, what is going to happen anyway is they're going to usher in a communitarian system. If you lived in Washington State and you had to listen to 5 minutes of Governor Inslee, you know he is completely in on this, as is, I'm going to say, 99% of everybody, including all alt media. The Stu Peters, I just endured a Catherine Austin Fitz and Derek Bros. These are our solutions to this? No, they're communitarians, and we need to start to focus in more than a 10-minute section on what is going on. So let's put the JFK assassination behind us and move towards this crucial subject, and that's the gist of my rant for the day. Open to comments.
Well, we're glad to have you comment. I mean, the climate change is a complete scam. I'm going to be doing a special with Joe Olson, who's done a huge amount of research on it. Life is impossible without carbon. The idea of doing away with gas and coal industry is just a guarantee to turn America into a third world nation. So we're going to be doing a lot about it, because if you're implying that the next huge monster scam and nightmare we face is going to be the climate change fiasco, you're 100% correct. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely agree. And I would advocate that Brian and Jenna, who are both lucid presenters, should get their own show on Rev Radio and cover this topic weekly. So if you guys have the time, you should pick up a slot.
I think that's right. I think that's a very good idea.
The only difficulty with that plan is I see the raised fist of revolution, and what is Rev Radio really advocating is, you know, something like Catherine Austin Fitz. We need to flush it all down the toilet, and from the ashes, we will create. I have a huge problem with this, but there is a gentleman in the Philippines, Cohen Jacobs. He's created a website. You have to pay for it, Truthcasters. What he is trying to get to is, let's sift through the BS and come up with what is and isn't reality. And I'm thinking that's where we're going. No more free broadcasts that can present a semi-biased. We need a nail on the head. But I appreciate your encouragement to get our own show, but I don't want to take up your whole time. So thanks so much. I'll sign off.
Oh, you're not taking up our whole time, but we're doing our best to get the information out there. And we're certainly going to be doing more about climate change, which is an enormous scam. But the idea of burning everything down, I think that's just absurd. That's like defunding the police. We want to reform the system and make it better. As JFK observed, those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable. The problem is now we're being so cut off on so many different avenues, freedom of speech, freedom of the press. They're containing us. They're manipulating us. They're constantly propaganding us. They're trying to force us to take vaccines that are going to kill or harm us. We're reaching the point where reform does not appear to be possible and revolution may be inevitable. So if that's anything close to your message, I think we're in agreement. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, Jim, completely agree, and we have another call from area code 608, so join the conversation. Tell us your name, and you're
Hi,
clearly
called.
Hey, Mer Bailey, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Hey. Merry Christmas. Yeah. Well, when you said about Soleimani, and this has been bugging me a long time, I think Trump took credit or responsibility for that, but I don't think that was his doing. I think that was the Mossad or Israelis or whoever trying to kick it off, but he tried to nip that in the bud to keep it from going any further at that point.
I think that's a great observation.
Gut feeling. And also, with two parties, and it isn't, it's they're all controlled by the money, and that's the key, is the usury. This is what we have to get beyond. Okay, if we just use cash for now, that's always the best thing when a system is coming apart, is to stick with cash as long as you can. And so it's not trackable, you know, and don't carry these phones. But with two parties like this, you notice what doesn't happen. There is never more than two parties. It's essential to keep head-to-head people against each other on an even keel. Okay, so you have, you know, that's the most effective opposition that doesn't see the puppet strings above. It's just at each other all the time. Where if you have more than that, like Traficant had the American party he was going to, and it was really picking up some steam before he was killed in 2014. But
I met him in person. He was quite an impressive figure.
Oh, lucky you. Where, in Pennsylvania or?
No, he was speaking at a conference out here. There used to be out here in Santa Clara every year for actually 13 years in a row, the conspiracy conferences. And they had multiple Jim Fetzer presented there. I met Jim Traficante probably, I don't know, I want to say 2006, 7, 8, something like that, I want to say. And he spoke.
Oh,
and I physically talked to him, shook his hand. Impressive guy. He played linebacker in college. He was about 6'3", maybe. He said he played at about 240, 245, but he was easily 260 probably when I met him. But again, he's just one of these guys, a straight talking guy, you know, a guy that you would absolutely respect both intellectually and physically.
And you can tell so much from the voice, can't you? I mean, definitely seeing him in person eye to eye, but the voice, you know, the theater of the mind, you can tell, your ears to hear. And you remember in 93, he spoke into the record, we are merely, the Congress people are merely trustees for the world's largest bankruptcy ever. And this hasn't stopped. Rosenfeld did that in 33 on March 9th and made us the enemy, enemies of the state. So this has never stopped. So trying to go around everything.
Hey, Murr, you're a student of history. Are you familiar with the little speech, part of the speech you can see? I've seen it in more than one place, but I think I saw it on World Truth Video, and maybe one time BitChute, about what Hitler had to say about the fact there was 32 parties, apparently, in Germany at one point. 32 parties.
No, I don't think I've come across that. I'll look for that, yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
Okay, well, like Harry Cooper has really studied into this, and I mean, he knows. He was an admiral, and he knows. He has all these things about U-boats and everything on Jeff Rentz, and his books are really good. But he said there were, you know, it wasn't the Hitler hated Jews. They made all this stuff up and turned it around backwards. There were Jewish young German Jewish men who fought for, they're patriotic and fought for Germany. There were many. You know, it's just so many lies.
We got a retired Israeli intelligence admitting their role, the role of Israel in the Soleimani assassination, that they induced Trump to do it. In other words, he was played. I believe they gave him a false depiction of Soleimani as though he were a terrorist when he was a great hero for Iran and for the Middle East. So I think Trump was played. The point is Trump launched the attack. He was played, but he launched the attack. Now, he may have been played regarding COVID, but he introduced the lockdown. And Scott Bennett explained to me how they had an executive order prepared for Trump to sign that would have precluded mandates for any American to be forced to take the jab that Trump did not sign. So that, to me, is a very black stain on Trump's reputation and legacy. And it's becoming increasingly difficult for me to contemplate supporting him. DeSantis looks to me easily the best choice among the available alternatives. And I don't like the pursuit for perfection to defeat the good. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Yeah, Jim. The globalists do not want Trump back in. And DeSantis is doing a lot of right things. I guess we'll see. I mean, he... DeSantis is repeatedly shown his loyalty to Rothschild and the Israeli state, illegal state, more than once. So it's not, he's certainly not a panacea. I mean, they do not want Trump back. That's for sure.
I want to interject a point, too. You object to everyone. I've never seen you endorse anybody. So where the hell do we go? Do we just give up?
You just said they're not perfect.
I don't object to everyone, Jim. That's not the point I've made. The point I've made before is simple, and I know that at least one person on this panel, so-called, would agree with me, and probably many of the listeners. Until such time, we have control again over the issuance of our money, okay, and control over the means of dissemination of propaganda and information, then we're screwed at any type of talk of politics as an exercise in childish futility and naivety. The bottom line is this: it doesn't matter who's in office as long as these people control the issuance of money, which they create out of nothing, and tell us that we owe them. That has to be changed. We have to do some things first, and then we can talk politics. Giuseppe's an excellent expert on the Godfather series, as I am, and I'm sure he knows well what Michael said regarding Hyman Roth. Michael said, history has shown us what? You don't have to repeat it. I think Giuseppe knows the scene and the line. History has shown what? We have to do some things. We have to set the table before we can have dinner. And talk of DeSantis or Trump or any of these people, when our enemy, our sworn enemy, has control over the money and the media, it's just insanity. To me, the solution is so simple. It's the easiest solution. Trying to win political power is the most difficult role you can think of. What I think needs to be done, and what Giuseppe knows needs to be done, is the easiest route. That's my point. Thanks for hearing it.
Well, what is that simple solution? It seems to me you got the cart before the horse. If you don't control the politics, you're not going to be able to change the Fed. Get rid of the... Jack was working around it. Yeah, Paul, give me, tell me, right, how naive I am in your infinite wisdom. Go ahead.
I'm not saying that you're naive. I'm just saying we have to crack eggs to make the omelet, okay? We're talking about what a beautiful omelet we can have, but we're not willing to crack some eggs. That's pretty simple. Do I need to spell it out?
You cannot change the media if you don't control politics. If you don't control the Congress, have new legislation to make the changes you think are desirable, with which I agree 100%. It's a question of... and ends. Giuseppe, your thoughts.
Well, Jim, politics will only work when if we had a warrior class, the warrior class would remove the Rothschilds, remove the World Economic Forum, remove the Council on Foreign Relations, remove the minions of those globalist parasites. Then politics could work because you nationalize the Fed. But we apparently, to this day, we do not have a warrior class that understands what needs to be done, removing these Satanists, these child abusers and murderers, these parasites from the table. It's so simple. They need to be removed from this earthly plane. Then you can nationalize the Fed. Then you can create a political system. But until you remove the demonic Rothschilds and their minions, nothing's ever going to change, Jim.
And how does that happen, Giuseppe?
I got it.
Oh, come on.
I got it.
Well, Jim, that happens with James Bond types taking care of they're trained. It would not be easy, but you literally have to, as they say in the profession, the wet works, sanctions. They need to be taken off the table.
Well, I just want to know what you got in mind, because, politically, we seem to be at a, lockdown. Go ahead, Paul. Say.
I don't know. It's simple. Start, we don't need to spell it out. It's anybody, any male who's ever seen a movie, who's ever done anything in his life, knows what we're talking about. It's asymmetrical. It's based on squads. It's based on crews of not great numbers, but committed. Planned ahead of time. Think about what the police do when they go to a house to bust somebody for drugs. Okay,
part of your agenda. I get it.
Okay, so it's simple. Only we don't tell them that we're going to do it.
We definitely don't tell them. Hey, listen. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
Of course.
Yeah, well, the Treasury and the Federal Reserve have been under the International MOFUs, the International Monetary Fund, for years. So they're not a separate entity, but it is the money system you have to take out. They own the politics and the media, basically propaganda. That's all. Politics are propaganda, just like the media is.
Look, I agree with all this. I agree about the Fed. I want to know how we do it. That's the point. I agree with the objectives you and Paul are espousing. I'm trying to see how we get there. What are the means we use to achieve it?
Well, I'll tell you, Jim, it's something you don't like to hear. But there was one perfect one, and we celebrate his birth this Christmas, Christ in there. And that's what you have to have, is you have to have higher power behind you, because they have the lower power behind them, which is subservient to the higher power.
That's a good point.
Selzmer, God helps those who help themselves.
No, that's a lie. Listen, that's a man-made saying. That's not in the Bible. You have to recognize that you're too weak, and you need God's help.
Look, I'll welcome help from any source. I want to figure out how we get this done. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, Murr is right. I mean, ultimately, it would sure help for a divine solution. And the lower powers are definitely in the corner of the Satanists. And the Satanists are the internationalist elf, and their use of usury, their use of, I mean, let's face it, Jim, the internationalist elves consider us to be cattle, Goyim cattle. And they are, this is a hot war right now, fifth generational warfare. They're attacking us with bioweapons. They're, they should not control our military, yet they do. And look at, they took out five sovereign leaders in African nations and in Haiti because they fought the scamdemic and the death jab, and they literally murdered five different presidents of countries for not going along with this hot war. So I agree with Murr. It would be outstanding for divine intervention, but until then, I think we need a warrior class to take care of business on this plane.
Well, we have to ask for that help. How many sacrifices did they get away with this solstice? Anyone know? We ought to be knowing that too. Exactly. And this is how they get their power. I mean, Ronald Bernard, the Dutch banker, remember him coming forward in 2017 about them wanting him to do sacrifice? This is what they do at the top.
No doubt. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, somewhere between 800,000 and a million children and young teens go missing in service of what you're saying. It's absolutely. And instead of all these libtard face diaper wearers who are so freaked out, they ought to be looking into the stolen children by the globalist parasites, without a doubt. I completely agree.
Amen.
Very surprised. About waiting for divine intervention.
Paul left you.
Not waiting, Jim. It's going on all the time. You should be in contact with divine all the time. Not waiting, not sitting back waiting. And in fact, people say they want to wait for a collapse and then pick up from the ashes. No, nature abhors a vacuum. There will be no vacuum. Need to be doing what we need to do now, just like we're doing with the media, independent or new media, whatever you want to call it. It makes them obsolete and all their lies. I mean, even when you put up the numbers from the Central Death Count about flu in the past, those are lies. People didn't report their flu to the doctors. Doctors don't report the flu to the CDC. I mean, ask Lorraine Day.
Jim, we're joined by a Rev Radio legend, the hijacker, who I understand is going to retire from Rev Radio. Jacker, are you there?
Yeah, thanks, Giuseppe, for pulling me in. But Jim basically said, what's the solution? Where do we go from here? He wants DeSantis. It's all in front of our faces. We have the answer. What we don't have is the structure. And the structure is a National Conservative Council in which Jim Fetcher, he would be a member. Giuseppe would be, anybody of caliber, and then it's basically ruled by 2/3 vote. Once you got a National Conservative Council together and have networked all this brain power, and then by 2/3 of the vote, figure out what's the next step, somebody's going to be able to come up with an answer.
Funded by whom?
What's that?
Funded by whom?
Funded by the council. Once you got a national conservative council, Murr, then you can move forward. You can figure out, well, what do we need to do? Well, yeah.
Do you realize how infiltrated that would be?
Oh, yeah. No, exactly. By 2/3 exactly. vote of the council members? Do you really think Jim Fetcher is going to vote?
You're a dreamer. You're a dreamer, buddy. Oh, and guess what? You know what? I doubt it ever got to you, but I really resented you coming on here and calling me a liar, hijacker, when I said about LaVey's son, Levy, Howard Stanton Levy's son, Jess, being castrated at age 12. And I sent the audio to several people, Giuseppe and Scorpio and Jim. And I don't know if it got to you.
I never called you a liar. I already knew that.
No, you said he was
all the people,
hijacker.
All the people that are being found out, they're going to leave.
Hijacker.
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 Let's stick to the council.
Listen, hijacker, you said 16. I'm calling you out on it. I'm just saying you kept saying 16. You didn't know what you were talking about. That is calling me a liar. I don't appreciate
all right.
it.
We're arguing over council.
Is this how your council will work? Whatever you say is the truth?
You think Jim Fetcher is going to vote for a Michael Rivero to sit on the council? He's not going to do that.
No, Mike Rivero, no.
Of course not. So you can't infiltrate something where all these people know each other? You think Giuseppe is going to vote for somebody like me after I've been so shot up? He's not going to vote for me. He'll vote for Jim Fetcher. So by 2/3 of the vote, they decide who's going to be on the council. And 2/3 of the vote.
Pressure.
No, they won't do it. No, nobody will step up. You know why? It's
like
because you get locked
time,
up.
Dude. Are you pressured for time by any chance?
Am I pressured for time?
I'm asking, yeah. Is there a reason? Because it's not just you. There's other people, too. Because I'm paying attention to not just Revolution Radio, but RBN and all types of other people telling the truth. And I'm noticing there's a connection that a whole bunch of people like Alex Jones are talking about how they might have to leave and the government's after them. It seems like you guys were actually the FBI informing people. This is just my thought. You know, it's my theory. That a lot of the FBI people are going to be caught soon, the jig's up, and so a lot of them have to leave for whatever their excuse is. So that's just my thought, and it just seems like it. So I'm asking, are you pressed for, is there a reason why you're so pressed on this thing having to happen right now? Is there something that you know that we don't know?
No, yeah, you can see what's, the playbook's already laid out. We can see the death waves coming, the economic collapse, we can see the wars coming. There's nothing more I can do.
You also see that people are waking up all over the world too, though, as well.
No.
Hijacker, hearing reports that January 1st they may change the whole banking system and it's going to go all digital already on January 1st.
Wow.
Have you got anything on that?
No, I'm projecting that there's going to be, and a lot of other people think that there's actually going to be a war in which China and Russia, one goes after Ukraine, the other one goes after Taiwan, and they're going to rein them in. It won't be a world war. And I think that's when they're going to do the economic collapse and do the reset. It'll be some kind of formula. And then that's when they're going to actually do the digital thing.
I have entered into a defense pact. So I think we can't attack one without bringing in the other. So I think your scenario is not at all improbable. I like that suggestion, hijacker.
Well, the big thing, Jim, is that you guys need to form this National Conservative Council and kind of use all these different people from all these different networks, all these think tanks. And then by 2/3 of the vote, you know, say what's the most important thing we need to do and focus our attention. Everybody's just running around all over the place.
Could you draft a blog about this that I could publish it and kick it out there and talk about it? I mean, it's a very interesting idea. Could you draft?
I wrote a Congressional Conservative Manifesto called 435 Congressional Conservative Councils with demonstrations of power. You're talking Contract with America, which Newt Gingrich ripped off. It was originally called Political Oath. It was how to nationalize the 94 election to take the House and the Senate, which it did work.
You should update that, Jacker, and give it to me on Skype, and I can get it to Jim, and he'll publish it on his blog. That's a great idea.
It's real simple, Giuseppe. All you got to do is just write the names of people you think ought to be on the National Conservative Council, send those names to everybody else, let them submit their names, and then once you got the names, by 2/3 vote, which hopefully will be inspired by truth and the Holy Spirit, that's why it's not 51-49. You want it to be lopsided. You want it to be a two-thirds vote. Right. And that way you will get the right people on that council. And then somewhere God will open up somebody's mind and saying, this is the way you need to go. This is what you got to concentrate on. But nobody will do it, because once you do that, then what happens, what you think will happen to you happened to me, which I got locked up 34 times, seven times thrown illegally in mental institutions with forced drug injections and 4 points. And nobody wants that.
Yeah.
And so nobody, nobody will do it. And I've tried, Robert Revold. I've tried Mike Avery. I'm trying Jim right now. I'm trying you and Scorpio, Giuseppe, anybody. I can't do it. I'm too shot up. The reason why I'm getting out, mentally, spiritually, physically, economically, completely exhausted. And there's nothing else more I can do except concentrate on trying to survive when I know it's about to come. We all can see what's about to come. And so I'm out. I'm too shot up. I'm bled out. So there's no way I can do it. So
something's definitely coming. That's for sure.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Although this death wave, no, it's I've got a couple of children that are nurses, and they're telling me, oh, they don't know what's happening, all these different sicknesses, but something's starting to happen. So now it's whether they're going to cover up the death wave with a war, and which will be cover for an economic collapse and then an economic reset. That's what I'm gaming out. That's what I'm thinking they're going to do. But there's nothing more I can do unless you guys pull together a National Conservative Council and then try to spawn 435 Congressional Conservative Councils, which that will give you power of the vote. You're talking about precinct chairmen and captains, poll watchers. But people won't do it. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But, 9 days, that's it for me. There's nothing more I can do.
You're going to be sorely missed, and we need more commentators, more hosts here at Revolution Radio. So if you have anyone in mind you'd like to recommend, please get that to Giuseppe or to me. We'll do what we can.
You guys all, you know all the names. You guys run in those circles. I don't. I'm just I'm a little guy voice in the wind, you know, a wilderness or whatever. But you guys know what needs to be done. You know the names. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks,
Merry Christmas,
for calling in. We wish you well. Yeah, thanks for all the good work you've done for Revolution Radio. Terrific, Hijacker, and have a great new year.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. God bless everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
To Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect,
Triangle.
Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
We'll be right back.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.